So here we go. We are starting with Perek Tes Vav in Orchos Yosher, which is the second Os Chach, which is Kavod Rabo V'Talmid Chacham, which is the topic, the issue, the value of giving Kavod to one's Rebbe and in general to Talmidei Chachamim. So he says like this, Hinei lo matzina shum avera shechazal hechmiru bei kol kach ki Kavod Rabo. There's no avera that Chazal were very, very machmir, very strict about, like the avera of violating the kavod of one's rebbe. Wow. In fact, on any blemish, any problem in kavod for a rebbe, so Chazal said that one chas v'shalom would be chay of misa. Which we don't find by anything else, which is a lack of kavod. Like, why should a lack of kavod be so severe? Like, for example, one who paskins a shayla in front of his Rebbe, in his Rebbe's presence, or on some level in his presence, we'll see a little bit. So that's a chiyuv misa, say Chazal. One who is mosiv mila, that means he coughs up like phlegm in front of his Rebbe. So he's going to, chas v'shalom, end up going to Sha'ol without a v'lad. I totally translated this wrong. What did I just say? Mosiv mila. Mosiv mila is to say something, to say a word, to paskin a shayla in front of his Rebbe. So he's going to go to Gehenim without any children. V'sham, here's the one. Kiach v'rach, there it is. That if a person is coughs up phlegm and spits, b'fnei rab in front of his Rebbe, chayav misa. And that the Meseches Kala says, whoever greets his Rebbe and returns the Shalom back to him, and what's wrong with that? What is that supposed to mean? So he explains over here that it means to say that he greets him just like an ordinary person, supposed to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, supposed to do it in a different way than anybody else. With greater kavod, so a person doesn't do that, or chilek al yeshiva, so he decides to start his own yeshiva to educate Talmidim in his own way in the lifetime of his Rebbe without his Rebbe's permission, also chayiv misa. So this is a story that he did mention someplace before, chapter 10, he says over here, that if there was a maise where Yehuda ben Nechemia, that he answered some question that Rabbi Tarfon couldn't answer, and he expressed some sort of kind of like an arrogance or something. Like he was all proud of himself. The way that it's described is that his face became like shiny, like gold. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, "Tzavu panecha shehishavta zaken." Yeah, you're so shiny like gold because you were able to have an answer for the zaken from Tarfon. Tameini. Im tarich yamim, I would be shocked if you live a long life. V'chein hava, and that's what happened. He died young. Ayin sham. V'chagiga him. And alav mivayv rabeisachem misa. If a person rejects, kicks it, he's chutzpedik to his rabeim. So he's chayav misa. Ayin sham. Shabbos kufeyam mebeis kol nisatzal hespedish al chacham really cover v'chayav. Whoever is lazy in delivering a proper eulogy for a chacham that passed away, so it's really that he should be buried in his lifetime. The Amru, Mary Rav Chukmer Shamayim, that one should have the awe of one's Rebbe like awe of Shamayim. The Amru Sanhedrin Kofiyot Kol Chalik Kol Rabbi Kol Chalashchina, that when a person disagrees or argues with one's Rebbe, it's like he's doing that to the Shechina. So obviously it doesn't mean like there's a machlokas and they're discussing things. It means to say that like, he brushes him aside and doesn't allow him to validate his opinions and things like that. Whoever creates a fight with his Rebbe, also it's like he's creating a fight with Shechina. And anyone who complains against the Rebbe is like complaining against the Shechina. Whoever has all sorts of thoughts of like, what's wrong with him, that he's certainly a failure in being down the Kavschus. But when a person has certain thoughts about his Rebbe, it's like his thoughts after the Shechina. But so one should always try to assume that the Rebbe is doing something positive and beneficial, trying to do the right thing. But Zarek Beyer, it requires explanation. Like, why were Chazal so charif, so sharp and so machmir when it comes to kavod for a Rebbe? Like, okay, listen, you should give kavod. It's a positive thing. But why is the lack of the kavod so important? See, he explains that all the inyan who the concept is, that this is really a problem in our Kabbalah Satorah. Why is it a problem, Kabbalah Satorah? And by the way, this whole thing is, as you'll see soon, is gonna lead in to maybe we're not gonna do it this week, but I guess I'll do it after break, which would be perfect timing, because there's also an element of kavod for chaverim, and when it comes to Pesach, leading to Shavuos and Sfiras Ha'omer, and how Yitzchak Yisrael is all about Kabbalah Satorah, so all of this is very apropos. So be that as it may, the way that one is Makabel Torah is generationally from person to person, from Rebbe to Talmud, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'kamoshe mana Rambam v'haktam so arba'im deres Moshe Rabbeinu ad Rashi. And just like you find that the Rambam actually has a list, you can trace the Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way to the Rambam, all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rav Ashi, he says over here, v'chein halen and on. And every generation is giving over that Torah that they received to the next generation. Like you find in the Medrash at the end of Parshas Hazino, that they're supposed to command their children. I have to show you, give you a kara satov. You're going to be makayim the Torah after me. So that a Rebbe says to Talmud, there's a hakara satov that I have towards you, because you're going to pass on the Torah to the next generation. You have to give the same hakara satov to your children. They're going to be makayim the Torah after you. Maise shibar veinu miludkia. It was a maise that who is it talking about? Rabbi Yehuda came from Lod. So let's see. So Yehuda came from Ludkia. And so you have Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Elazar, and they sat in front of him. Amar Lahem. So he said to them, come close. I have to show you special favor. I give you a shtickle favoritism because you're going to be Makayim the Torah after me. And similarly, you have to do the same to your descendants because they're going to continue the Torah after you. So he was educating me. He was trying to say that I want you to know that I have a karsa tov to you. And by the way, that's something you have to have to your children and your talmidim after you as well. Moshe gadol hu, yolei bo achirim, achirim, leitza terasa shava, that despite the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, if there would be no one that would come after him, so then what would his Torah be worth? And us, who are obviously not Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not a source for Torah, we're just giving it over, so of course we're dependent on the next generation. So even Moshe Rabbeinu, who is a source for the Torah, because Baruch Hu gave the Torah through him, but still he depends on everyone else to pass it on. So us, who all we are a link in the chain, alachas kama v'kama. That's what the pasuk means, and it says you have to be mitzaveh those after you, that it doesn't just mean that you have to make sure that the Torah gets passed on, but it means you have to understand how critical it is as well, which changes your attitude and perspective towards the links in the chain. And so the Torah is given over from generation to generation. Like it begins in Pirkei Avos, as it describes the entire Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And in every generation, the same thing is happening. And as we have to appreciate that the Torah is actually being given over. Like, what would it be, even if you have art scroll, what would be if there were no living Rebbeim that would be able to explain things to us? So we would have access to a very narrow portion of the Torah, whatever is written down, but to be able to have access to everything that's behind it, how to do it, how to implement it. In other words, there's a few elements here. One element is the information itself. And there's a lack in information when you don't have an actual Rebbe to ask questions to and clarify things with. That's one part of it. But there's more to it, much more to it than that, which is that a Rebbe brings along to the Masorah also what's it called, shimush tamidei chachamim, that to be able to understand how things are implemented and how to fulfill mitzvahs and the right attitudes and the right perspectives and how to feel when you do all those kinds of things are also part of giving over the Messiah, that it's critical to have a Rebbe. And that's given over every single generation. Kol Rav l'talmidav, every Rebbe is talmidim. If people couldn't rely or trust their Rebbe, so the Torah would end up becoming batel, becoming nullified. Like his famous story in Shabbos, but Hillel and the guy that wanted to convert, that I only want to hear about the Torah Shabbat, I want to hear about what Hashem's Torah is, I'm not interested in any of this rabbinic stuff. So convert me on condition that all you're going to do is teach me what Hashem said, the Torah Shabbat, none of this Torah Shabbat. So Hillel said to him, he converted him. And he said to him, the first day he said to him, we're like, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. When he started, he didn't convert him on the spot, but he was willing to do it. And this is how he began their conversion classes. So he tells him, listen, you have to learn the Aleph Beis. You have to be able to learn the Torah Shabbat. So this is an Aleph, this is a Beis, this is a Gimel, this is a Dalet. When he came back the next day, so he said, you see this letter? This is a Dalet. What? Yesterday you told me that was a kuf, you know? So, see, he reversed all the letters to him. So, Amar Lacy said, well, that's not what you told me yesterday. Amar Lacy, Hillel said back to him, aren't you relying on me to tell you even what Hashem said, the Torah Shabbat? So, if that's the case, that even in the basic understanding of a Torah Shabbat Sav, there is an element of a Torah Shabbat Peh, meaning you have to learn it from a Rebbe, otherwise you'll never even be able to access the Torah Shabbat Sav. So if you're trusting me about the Torah Shabbat Sav, you should be trusting me about the Torah Shabbat Peh as well. And all of this is true, but a person and gives a proper covet to his Rebbe and he trusts him and he's willing to accept the Torah from him. Well, a person is denigrating to his Rebbe, he doesn't give him covet, the opposite. Okay, and he won't believe anything that he tells him. And he'll have doubts about every single thing he teaches him. Maybe it's not true. And if that's true, then the entire Torah becomes batel. Not only the Torah Shebaal Peh, not only all extra elements, but even the Torah Shebichsav, even all of the basic elements. How do you know any of that is true? We don't have the Ribbono Shel Olam to ask. All we can do is trust our Rebbeim. And that's exactly what happened by the Tzdukim and the Karoyim, those that rejected the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they didn't trust anything that it says in the Torah Shabbat Peh, that they heard, they learned the Torah Shabbat Peh, and they ended up becoming just totally disgraced because they ended up being pretty stupid. And that's why Chazal were so makbid, so strict, and so insistent on kavod for a Rebbe. So that's one's own personal Rebbe. What about just generally for Talmidei Chachamim that are not our Rebbeim? So too by them. If a person disgraces the Talmud Chacham, not his Rebbe, there's no way to heal his wound. And Yerushalayim was destroyed because of this, of the fact that people would disgrace Talmidei Chachamim. There was an incident that happened with after Mar Shmuel, is referred to as the Master Shmuel. So after he was Nifter, so there was a certain person that was apparently speaking disparagingly of him, and a beam fell from the roof and it smashed in his skull. It was a clear sign that it was because of what he was saying about Mar Shmuel, that Mina Shamayim, they were makbid on that pagam in his kavod. And that's what it says over there. And Surah Mirabana, Tamar Chacham, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is claiming his kavod. Because of a Rambam, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, it's a very tremendous sin to disgrace a chacham and to hate them. Because Yerushalayim wasn't destroyed until it reached such a point that they disgraced Talmid Chachamim. Shemar Yu Malivim Malach Lekim, that they had this terrible attitude towards the servants of Hashem. They're called Malachim. But Wezim Devarim Masayim Bin Neviyav, and they not only the person themselves, but even the Torah that they say, they don't relate to it properly, and also the Neviim themselves, they taunt and they don't have the right relationship and attitude towards. Kalemar Boizim Alam the Devarav, just in general, so they were disgracing all of those people who teach Hashem's word. V'chein zeh she'amra Torah, im mechukasai timo asur, and Parshas Bechukosai, when it describes the slippery slope of Gullus, of Klal Yisrael, so it says that if you will have a totally negative attitude towards my chukim called moused, that a person is totally rejecting them and finds them to be disgusting, it refers to, because I'll say it refers to those who are teaching it and not the actual words of the Torah itself. And that leads to all of the terrible things in the Torah. And anyone who disgraces chachamim, so he doesn't have a portion in the world to come. Why should that be? So that's, you know, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, even if one would argue that the fact that a person does an avera of being mevazeh talmid chacham in and of itself perhaps would not make a person lose his chelek olam haba, but it certainly leads to a person losing his chelek olam haba because he won't accept the Torah. And if a person is rejecting the words of a chacham, so then certainly he is disgracing the word of Hashem because he is just giving over the Dvar Hashem. And one who disgraces a chacham really should be excommunicated. And Bezdin excommunicates him publicly. Like we said before by Mar Shmuel, if a person disgraces a chacham even after he's no longer alive, Bezdin excommunicates him. The reason is because the acceptance of the Torah depends on listening to chachamim. So wait a minute, but that's if it's a rebbe. But if it's not a rebbe, you can't just go ahead and insult everyone else. So the answer is because it creates a whole attitude. It impacts other people, and this particular chacham won't be accepted by others. And what about his talmidim? And why should he be any different than anyone else? And he seems smarter than your rebbe. So how can you trust your rebbe? And then it becomes, you know, this Pandora's box, and it just becomes a big disaster of negativity and bad attitudes and pagam and kavodat Torah, and therefore in the Dvar Hashem. And ultimately in Hashem himself, because then what's Hashem worth if his word isn't worth anything? So if there's not the proper kavod, which is the exact opposite, right? It's not a neutral. It's not that, we won't disgrace anybody, but we won't give them kavod. Why do you have to give them kavod? Just don't do anything negative. So the answer is that's what allows the Torah to be accepted, is that it's put on a pedestal and it becomes something that's a value. If it's just a neutral, then what's the difference? You know, who cares? But if it's something that's a value and it's something that's given kavod, so that's something you have to listen to and you have to pay attention towards. So there's not the proper kavod, but they'll might run. So there won't be any awe, there won't be any proper respect for them. And in future, the entire Torah will be nullified. When it came to Korach, who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah, Bikesh Moshe Rabbeinu lo v'shalom she'yanesh. It wasn't enough that he should cease, but that rather that it should be clear that he was punished, that Korach was punished. If that weren't the case, then the whole Torah would have been batel, because he had created a serious pagam and it needed to transform into back to an awe for Torah in general. Chinkasav, Adoni Avi Meir Rabbi, his father the stapler, Zichrono Rirachel Chayelam Abba, Bakdama Sefer Chayi Olam Zel Lishrona. This is what the stapler said. Sanhedrin's Aftzadi Tes Ezaf Bikurish Shein Lachel Gam Abba. Who's considered this apikurus that does not have a portion in the world to come? That refers to a person that disgraces Talmid Chachamim. Be'etzem shem apikurus, and this name itself, an apikurus, hunach al hakoifer be'ikar, so that applies and refers to a person that's chas v'shalom denying Hashem. And here it's being applied, saying, who is this apikurus that loses his chel gom haba? So we would have said a person that rejects Hashem. So no, the Gemara says it's a person that disgraces Talmid Chachamim. Why? But an apikurus is a denier of Hashem. So the answer is, Mishum de ba'emes hakol echad, because the truth is, it's all the same thing. Shemavazet Talmid Chachamim, one who disgraces Talmid Chachamim, Shehem Heim Yisoyed Mekabli Emunah, because they are the foundation of all of the acceptance of Emunah in Hashem. What do we know about Hashem if not for the Torah? How do we know the Torah if not for the Chachamim? But bechlal kfi rechman alitzlan, if a person rejects the words of the and disgraces them, the Talmid Chachamim, so certainly that is in and of itself already a kfira, a rejection and denial of the Kadosh Baruch Hu rechman alitzlan. Hashem should save us. The haba hatalia, because one is dependent on the other. Exactly the story of Hillel we said before. Take a look. 150 years ago, that all the places where people abandoned the Torah and went in the ways and followed the negativities of the society, so they the terrible things happened, and what they had in common was at the beginning of their downfall was that they didn't have the right attitudes towards Talmid Chachamim and the general Gedolim of Klal Yisrael. And it was just a question of falling one step to the next. They went from stage to stage. There was no way to stop them, because how are they ever going to return? How are they ever going to do tshuva? Like everybody knows, and that's what the Stipler said. He was talking about, you know, history before his time. That you saw these communities that had just rejected Torah and Talmid Chacham and became totally secularized. And it was a disaster. But it's all step by step, because once a person is not having the proper kavod for Chachamim, so then what's going to keep him balanced and connected to the Torah? It's a slippery slope. Back in Parshas Bechukosai, that the Medrash says, when the Pasuk says that if you find my mishpatim to be something that is abhorrent to you, again, not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or per se, but as a reference to hating the Chachamim, so in the end, he's going to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein katzav HaRambam in the Tumas Tzeras. Derech yeshiva saleitzim harashayim, that the way that all of the jokers, the scoffers, and the evil people sit around, boy and Sabbath begins to tzaddikim. So their favorite topic is people that actually deserve kavod, and they try to bring them down. They speak about all the denigrating things about tzaddikim. Kinyus neemar te alamna sif se shekar derves al tzaddik ata, which means from the word elaim, that we should, the lips of those who are saying sheker and speak terrible things about tzaddik should be alma, should become like an elaim. They should become mute. And through those meetings, those amazing meetings, so that it just led to a routine and people getting, like, second nature, that they would just say negative things even about Nevi'im, and to make people doubt their words. We said before the same pasuk that's the relationship to anyone that was imparting the Devar Hashem. And through that, they end up saying negative things about Hashem himself, the curfew and bikkur, and then deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because how could it be that it even exists if such terrible things are said? And ridiculous things like that. And when a person that the opposite is careful about Kavod HaTorah and Talmid Chachamim, send the Gemara in Shabbos, says, Dirachim Rabbanan, Kavu Lei, Gwenin Rabbanan, that when a person has the proper relationship, the proper attitude towards the Toz Chachamim, so then he's going to have children that are going to be from the Rabbanan. In other words, if a person values certain things, so then generally speaking, his children learn to value those things as well, and that becomes a chain in a person's family about what's important, what's a proper value. To make your Rabbanan, when he gives a proper yakar, a proper kavod to the Rabbanan, Havulei, Chasvanta Rabbanan, his daughters also are going to marry Talmidei Chachamim. And his sons-in-laws will be Chachamim. The Dachil Mi Rabbanan, one who has a proper awe, fear of the Rabbanan, but Gufi Avitz of Rabbanan. See, he himself is going to become a Talmud Chacham. And if he's really not, doesn't have such a capacity, he doesn't have the intellect or whatever, to Mishnah Milchus of Rabbanan, at least such a person will be listened to as if he's a Talmud Chacham, because his Yirah Shamayim allows him to understand things and say things that are true and emistic, and then people will listen to him, he'll be able to have an impact, even if he doesn't necessarily know so much Torah, but he's going to have awe of the Rabbanan, and he's only going to impart the things that the rabbis say. and then he'll be a vessel for those people that are Talmidei Chacham. The Amrim Perkei Avos Perk Vav, the Memechas Tzvarmitzar Niknes, that the Torah is acquired in 48 ways. Vechemhem Bemulas Chachamim. The only way, one of the 48 ways to acquire Torah, it's necessary to have the proper trust in Chachamim. Kimein Lemulas Chachamim, because without that, Leikavimhem Dibram, someone will never accept what they say. Bubabasra and Hamid Aleph, and Papa Basra, it says, the Asir Yerchanam Kadarish. Yerchanan explained, Asir Kadosh Baruch Hu Haviyah Vanim Toivo Is Margar Liyashem Shleishem Al Shleishem. That in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring these precious stones, and they're going to be pearls that are 30 by 30, Bechaykim Eser Al Esrim, and is going to be engraved on them 10 by 20, Mamidan Beshare Yerushalayim, going to place them in the gates of Yerushalayim. So what does this mean? He says, Avajira, he's going to be precious stones and pearls that are 30 amos by 30 amos. He's going to cut an opening of 10 by 20, and he's going to place them in the gates of Yerushalayim. So is the Talmud. So there's a Talmud there that made fun of this. You know, like, that's ridiculous. Hashtag Yasa the Tzitzla Loy Mashkechinan. Kuli Hai Mashkechinan. Nowadays, we if you look around at the world, you're not going to find precious stones and pearls that are even the size of an egg. An egg of a tzitzla, some kind of dove or something like that. So you can't, meaning you can't even find these small ones, you know? How big is the biggest pearl that you ever saw? So you got to find one that's big enough to be 30 by 30 amis? Yamim, if Liga Svinasa Bayam, not too long afterwards, so he set sail in a ship. Minasre Avanim Tobis Margalishim Shleshim Al Shleshim Chok Masarum Esrim. And he apparently had a tremendous chus, and he saw that these were malachim, that they were sitting and carving out these precious gems and these pearls, and they were taka 30 amos by 30 amos with this opening of 10 by 20. So, you know, he was given some sort of vision or something like that. So Amar Lahu. So he said to the Malachim, Hanei Laman, who is it for? So Amrulay said, these are the ones that in the future are going to be placed at the gates of to Yerushalayim. So they went back to Yerushalayim. Amrulay said, Darish Rebbe, the Chanar Lidrash, Rebbe, you should continue the Darshan because your drushas are mamash, beautiful and pleasant. Kasher Martikir, just like you said, I saw. Amrulay Reka, so he said, them empty headed one. If you hadn't seen it from the Malachim, so you wouldn't have believed it. You are one that disgraces, that insults the words of the Chachem. He placed his eyes on him, and he became a pile of bones. It's a fascinating story, because here you have a person that was clearly on the Madrega, and then Min HaShamayim, they showed him this. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan said, that's what it takes. You have to see, don't believe your Rebbe. This is kind of gross, but whoever, well, maybe you should remember it, and whoever insults the words of the Chachamim, so his judgment in the Lasid Levo is going to be in boiling feces. If a person says, wow, you know, that line in Chazal is mamish, very beautiful, but this one, Ma'abed Hanish Al Torah, so he's going to lose all of his wealth in Torah. Or at least he's diminishing all the wealth of Torah in general. You should view every generation the same. In other words, you can't say, oh, you know, woe is to one generation. One generation was better than another. Person shouldn't say, well, yeah, listen, if Rabbi Akiva was alive, so I would go learn, you know, I would learn by him. But there's nobody like him, so, you know. At least Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yechon was alive, so I would learn by them. Any generation one finds himself in, and the Chachamim of his generation, that you should view every generation as the Chachamim that are necessary and critical for that generation, and therefore, so to speak, on the same level as other generations, because that's what our generation needs. Therefore, they're the ones that are appropriate to impart the Torah. A person should never say, you know, woe is to us, you know, other times were better than these. Upsachim. Mem Beis Morala from Yehuda. Ishalei Tala Shalei Bamayim Shalanu. That a woman, when she's making matzah, Mayim Shinyana Diyuma, so she should, of course, only use what's called Mayim Shalanu, water that's been sitting overnight, because that way it doesn't get warm and doesn't cause chimutz too fast. The water is cold. Darsha Masa Fapunya. So Rav Mazda taught this in a place called Fapunya. Okay, I don't know where that is. The Machar Isu Kulei Alma. The next day, the whole world, so to speak, came. Chetzbayu Asu Gabay. So they all brought their pitchers to him. Okay, so this is a little bit of background. You know, Mayim Shalanu. You know, so okay. Well, let's see what the story says. So he says, so they all brought their pitchers, their containers for to fill up water. So they said to him, "Havlan amai, give us water." What? I wasn't talking about. I wasn't talking. In other words, the Mayim Shalanu, the word Shalanu. How do you hear it? So he meant Shalanu, that the water slept. Just like lan is to sleep, so that's what he meant. Sleeping water. What's sleeping water? Water that sat overnight in the darkness and the cold, so that it doesn't have any sunlight that's warming it up. But when he said shalanu, they interpreted it as our water, so meaning his water. So he says that if your wife is going to make matzah, this is obviously right before Pesach, and their wives were going to make matzah. So he says, okay, make sure that when she kneads her dough, she does it with. What they interpreted him to be saying was with our water, meaning with my water. So they all came to him and said, okay, so give us water. So he said back then, Anabamaya Devesu Amri. No, I meant the water that slept overnight, not the water that was my water. Because of Shema Goyim Rishol Salanter. So he said in the name of Rishol Salanter Zatzal, Shechazal Sibri Lanu Maya Zeh, the reason why Chazal told us this funny story, what it's just to make fun of the Amay Aretz. No. Is to teach us how special these people were. Because they weren't going to ask any shaylas. If he said, you need my water, so then that's what they have to do. We have to get his water. Why does it have to be your water? They should have asked him. No, they're munas chachamim. They were very special people, very high madrega. Like, why weren't they thinking? And all of our lives, we were never yotzei matzah because we didn't use your water. They didn't ask any kashas. Whatever he explained to them, they believed. And the point is, the Gemara is that's really appropriate. So when the Chazon Ish was asked, what is the proper way to achieve and to arrive at such an emunas chachamim? He answered, emunas chachamim tliya b'emunas chachma b'chalal. That when it comes to this issue, it really depends on your trust of the Torah's wisdom in general. In chachma ba'ilamenu bilti im over lanu derech nishmas chacham chai ad kan l'shaynoi, which means that there's no wisdom in our world other than what has come through a living talmid chacham. So if a person believes in the wisdom of the Torah, so Mamela, you're believing in all of the great Chachamim that have passed it on until now, because otherwise, how do you know any of it? And therefore, you have to have emunah, not just in the Chacham, but you have to have emunah in the Torah. And if you have emunah in the Torah, then you have emunah in all the Chachamim that have been transmitting it until now. So why should our Chachamim be any different? We're all learning the same Torah, and they're all impacted by the same value system. So now is story time. There are a number of stories here. So, story time. Father-son learning. Reb Chaim tested one of his great-grandchildren, boy of 5 and a half, on Chumash Bereishis. He derived nachas from seeing how well the child knew the material. He asked the boy's father, does his knowledge come from learning with his father, or what he learned in class, in school, in yeshiva? Cheder. The father replied that he did indeed learn with the son. This is literally a mitzvah d'oraisa to learn with your son, Reb Chaim said. When I was a child, my father learned everything with me. Tanach and Mishnayos. And about 8 Masechtas of Gemara, even when I grew up, he continued to learn with me until he was Nifter. He felt that one should learn Torah even with a grown son, thus fulfilling the mitzvah of Shinantam Levanecha. On the subject of father-son learning, Rechaim said, sometimes you see a father trying to learn with his son, but the son prefers to learn from a different Rebbe. The reason for this is that sometimes the father is too stern, and the boy feels pressured. He prefers a Rebbe who will be easier on him and shower him with compliments. This is stated explicitly in Ovis to Rabbi Nassan. Rita Bar Eli says, if a man dies and leaves a son, and the son did not inherit from his father, but went and learned Torah from others, he is seeking flattery. In other words, the son found it difficult to learn with his father because of the father's severity. As long as the father was alive, the son was not able to go to another Rav, therefore he didn't learn. Upon his father's passing, the son seeks out a Rav who will provide a bit of flattery. In practical terms, I have continued, a father can be an excellent teacher for his son. However, there are those that are not suited to this, so a different Rebbe must be found. This does not reflect a deficiency in the father. It's simply that the world says. When a son learns with his father, if it goes well, it's the best kind of learning. But if not, it is the worst kind of learning. For me personally, I concluded it was good to learn with my father. Even in his diaper's old age, Rechaim learned Medrash with him every Shabbos. Apart from this, Rechaim would visit him every day. This custom apparently began as a daily visit to his mother. After Patira, he continued stopping in to see his father every day. Rebbe and Talmud. Rav Mishaya Steinman had the privilege of hearing Rechaim Kanievsky share some emotionally charged memories from the days he learned with Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, the Rebbe of his, in Michal Yehuda's first year of teaching Torah after his marriage at the age of 24. We called him the Chassan because he was a Chassan when he delivered the first shir. He would add Musar to the Gemara shir. We all loved him. This characterization from Rechaim, who was very careful with his words, attests to the way the Talmidim felt about their young Rebbe and the enormous admiration they had for him. All through the years, Rechaim maintained an attitude towards Rav Michal Yehuda of a Talmud towards his Rebbe. Rechaim also added that in that year, they learned a portion of Maseches Ksuvos and completed all of Maseches Nedarim twice. Wow. Conversely, Rechaim held an important place in Rav Michal Yehuda's heart. I heard Rav Michal Yehuda describe Rechaim as the teacher of all the Torah, singular in several generations and the like. The love between these two gedolim was indescribable. Anyone fortunate enough to see them together had the privilege of seeing something he would never forget. I was with Rav Chaim after Rav Michal Yehuda's funeral, and as we spoke about Rav Michal Yehuda, tears flowed from his eyes. And as he returned from the funeral, he instructed his son Rav Shaul, a grandson of Rav Michal Yehuda, for marriage, to daven mincha from the Amud, and I will say Kaddish, Rav Chaim added. This was before the Kavura was even complete. And Rav Chaim went to comfort the mourners. He wept again. He could not speak for several minutes. At the Shiva for Rav Michal Yehuda, Rav Chaim related that Rav Michal Yehuda once came to him and asked if he could borrow a sefer. My father was a Yerei Shamayim, Rav Michal Yehuda said, but he did not serve as a Rav or a Sheshiva or the like. Often as I walked in the street with him and he wished to teach me a lesson in Musar, he would point to a certain person and say, do you see? He is like me. He is not a Talmud Chacham. He earns his living as a shoemaker, and yet he has a son who is a Talmud Chacham. You too don't have a father who is a Talmud Chacham, but don't be afraid. Learn well, be diligent, and dedicate yourself, and you will grow and become a Talmud Chacham. Recently, Rav Michal Yehuda continued, I heard that the son of that shoemaker wrote a sefer called Bris Eisan. I heard that you possess a copy. As a gesture of gratitude to the author, I'd like to learn the sefer. That's why I've asked if you could lend it to me. A friend recounted that on his return home from Rav Michal Yehuda's funeral, he sat down and learned from that sefer as well, for it occurred to him that he too owed a debt of gratitude to the man who had caused Rav Michal Yehuda to strengthen himself in his Torah study. Wow. The road to atonement. A man came to Rav Chaim from abroad as an envoy representing a group of people. He had a question. The question brought to light the fact that many individuals had shed copious tears, suffered profound anguish, and experienced years of sorrow. Here are the facts. Decades before, there was a pious, God-fearing, and scholarly man who held an important Torah position in a certain institution. His young students, like youngsters everywhere, did not get along very well with him. With a sense of childish mischief, they decided to show him what was what. They began playing all sorts of pranks on him, things that disturbed and embarrassed him in various ways. Due to the sensitive nature of the story, we cannot be too specific about the time and place or the exact nature of the pranks, but I guess it was some good stories. Anyway, the common denominator among them was that they caused him emotional pain. Years passed, and the students began to notice a mita keneged mita justice touched them all. No one was immune. One remained childless. Another became the father of a sickly child. A third had marital troubles. Another student had been waiting long years for his children to find their shiduchim. And then a Kaddish Baruch Hu brought matters about so that one of those former students made a cheshbon hanefesh, a moral reckoning of his life, and came to the conclusion that these troubles had come upon them because they had hurt the Talmud Chacham so many years before. Of course, the simplest thing would have been to go to his home and beg his forgiveness. He would certainly rise above his feelings and pardon them, but he was not well. It was out of the question to ask him to forgive them. He decided to send one of their number to seek the advice of Rav Chaim. How could they atone for their terrible conduct? Chaim thought for a moment and said, there is something you can do. Going to him and asking him to forgive you is not an option, but if you would buy something that would be useful to him, that would be like appeasing him, and you can bring about your atonement. Needless to say, the deal that he suggested, he approached the man's family and asked what they needed. Family said a certain amount of money they could really use, and they needed to purchase something that would assist them. Let us hope with Hashem's help to hear that each of them merits salvation in the area in which he needs it. That's the end of the story, sorry. Learning from Gadol Hador, Reb Chaim married in a particular closeness with the Chazon Ish.
Appreciate the story.
Yeah, so Reb Chaim was very close to the Chazon Ish. He was his nephew, and he also shared a home for a number of years during the period when the Chazon Ish lived in the home of the Stipler, his brother-in-law. Anyway, Reb Chaim was privileged to enjoy a special bond of affection and to receive his uncle, right, the Chazon Ish, his uncle, his guidance at every turn. Reb Chaim regarded the Chazon Ish as his primary Rebbe, as well as the greatest posek, as he attests in his introduction to Derech Emunah on Zorim. In the area where the Chazon Ish issued a halachic ruling, I have cited his opinion in nearly every place, for he is the teacher of Israel and our guiding light, particularly in these laws. Over the years, Reb Chaim kept a personal notebook in which he jotted down thousands of things that he saw his illustrious uncle do. Reb Chaim wished to publish his notes. He eventually worked to produce a series of Sfarim entitled Maisa Ish, which contained thousands of personal customs that he witnessed, as well as anecdotal information about the Chazon Ish. Similarly, Reb Chaim often cites the Chazon Ish in every area of life, halachic rulings, his qualities and conduct, his formidable knowledge of Torah. Reb Chaim related that he was once at the home of the Chazon Ish on Yom Tov Sheni. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's nothing, right? And the Chazon Ish asked him to turn on a light. Reb Chaim explained that the reason he turned it on, despite the fact that he discreetly refrained from doing Malacha Daraisa on Yom Tov Sheni, right, which is very interesting, right? Why in the world anyone in Eretz Yisrael keep any Chumrah of Yom Tov Sheni? What would be the point of that? But that was the thing. Hold on. Was that he, that honoring the Gadol Hador is Daraisa, Yom Tov Sheni at best is only Dirabana. Reb Chaim went on to explain that he himself has this custom because his father, the Chazon Ish, conducted themselves that way. However, he does not observe the stringency as a neder. Therefore, when the Chazon Ish asked him to turn on a light, not knowing that Reb Chaim had undertaken to follow his father's custom, Reb Chaim complied. In his sefer, Reb Chaim rules with leniency on this matter and is only personally stringent, not wanting others to publicize it. He keeps this stringency discreetly. Reb Chaim said, once in my youth, we traveled to Tzfas in the month of Av together with Chazon Ish. I asked him to learn with me and he agreed. Which Gemara are you learning? He asked. Hesitant about mentioning a difficult Masechta, I said that I wanted to learn Masechta's Tainus. And so over the course of the next few days, we learned Masechta's Tainus together. He would ask me a number of questions on each Tainus. I was young then, but I didn't know the answers. But I wrote the questions down for myself. In the third section of my Sefer, Siach HaSad, and Masechta's Tainus, I cite a portion of that. Respect for the Talmud Chacham. When Reb Chaim was hospitalized in the Maimon Yeshua Hospital in 5762, he heard, so that was, 21 years ago, he heard that the Gaon, was there as well. Reb Chaim wished to visit him and insisted on putting on his coat and hat, despite the fact this was an effort for him out of respect for Talmud Chacham. Only then did he go and pay him a visit in the hospital. My father, this type of Reb Chaim related, said that there was two Bachrim who were the top students in their yeshiva. One day they learned a Marsha and they didn't like it, saying that the Marsha was speaking like a child. They took the Marsha's commentary, which was printed in a separate volume, placed it in a baby carriage, and rocked the carriage the way one would rock a baby. Whoa. Later, one of them completely lost his mind, and the other one off the Derech Rechmana Islam. Wow. My father, Reb Chaim continued, also said that there is a certain Sefer by one of the Acharonim that we don't learn and do not understand. He said he thought the reason for this was because the author did not express himself respectfully toward the Rishonim. Therefore, he didn't merit having others learn his Sefer. Reb Chaim also cited the Gemara in Shabbos, which states that a person who treats a Talmud Chacham disrespectfully will not be healed of his ailment. He remarked that tshuva may be effective, but it's difficult to do tshuva for this. Reb Chaim said that his father-in-law, Reliasha, was asked why so many have been stricken with the dread disease, with cancer, lo aleinu. In response, he cited the above Gemara, which states the one who disrespects Talmud Chacham will find no cure for his ailment. That is why even after he goes into remission, the disease returns again and again. When asked why he has such a severe view of those who disrespect Torah scholars, Reb Chaim answered that the sin of treating Talmud Chacham with disrespect is so serious that the person could go on to worship idols the next day. Testing the Baal Shem Tov, Reb Chaim once related, Chassidim tell of a person who once came to test the Baal Shem Tov to see whether he knew how to learn.
He asked them a question the young boys are asked. What should a person do if he forgot to say Yalu Yavar? The Baal Shem Tov replied, the question is not practically applicable, neither for me nor for you. It does not apply to me because I don't forget. It doesn't apply to you because it won't help if you remind yourself 90 times if you go back and reach Manasseh, for you'll forget it then too. And so it was. The fellow forgot even when he repeated Manasseh. Beware of their coals. The Rechaim once told the following story with great emotion. The author of the Sefer Chemda Shlomoi had a son named Rabbi Yakir, who was a brilliant and special person. Rabbi Yakir was in danger when drafted into the army. His father was naturally in great distress. One day, a prosperous Jew entered their home and sensed the sadness that reigned there. Inquiring as to its cause, he was told about the son's situation. He told them that he was on friendly terms with a certain government minister who happened to owe him a large sum of money. He offered to take advantage of this opportunity to request exemption for military service from Yakir. The Chemda Shlomo told him that, should he be successful, thus allowing his son to continue learning Torah, as a sign of his gratitude, he would marry off his son to the man's daughter. In due time, Rav Yakir was indeed freed from the army. The Chemda Shlomo kept his end of the bargain, and the rich man became his mechutin. Before the man left town to travel home together with the Chassan, the Chemda Shlomo had a request. The man lived in a city that was largely inhabited by Hasidim, and Chaim Shlomo was not interested in having his son drawn into Hasidus. Therefore, he asked his mechutin to do his best to make sure this didn't happen. He also asked his son to remain faithful to the customs of his family. The Chaim Shlomo request proved ineffectual. In time, he received word that his son had become Chassid Shalom, a Katzker Chassid. Before Shavuos, the Chaim Shlomo wrote to his son, asking him to come spend Yom Tov with him rather than with the Katzker Rabbi. Rabbi Yakir showed his father's letter to the Rebbe. The Rebbe told him they had nothing to worry about. He would arrange matters on his behalf. The Katzker Rebbe picked up a sofer's quill and wrote a letter to the Chemda Shlomo. Then he asked a certain person who would be traveling to the Chemda Shlomo city for Shavuos to give him the letter before Yom Tov. Busy and distracted, the man forgot to deliver the letter before Yom Tov. Just before Yom Tov began, as the Chemda Shlomo realized that his son would not be there for Shavuos, he said sorrowfully, he doesn't even observe Kibud Avvaim. At that same moment, the son was standing near a window in a dangerous position. He fell down and died on the spot. As Rechaim told this part of the story, tears coursed down his cheeks, and he quoted Pergiavos, beware of the Chachamim's coals. After Yom Tov, when the messenger brought the letter to the Chemda Shlomo, the latter said in anguish, you came too late. The messenger was afraid to go back to see the Katzker Rebbe. It was only 13 years later when he was certain that the Rebbe had forgotten the incident that he came to him, but the Rebbe had not forgotten. He said, I see you going from above to below. A few days later, this man too fell from a high place and was killed. Again, Rechaim shed tears. Rabbi Akira's wife married again, this time to the Malbim, to whom she related this entire story. Whoa. A scorpion's sting. Rechaim told the members of his household, when my Rebbe was Nifter, and they brought him to the Shomrei Shabbos cemetery, one of the men present said out loud, what is everyone getting so upset about today? And more than about the passing of any other Jew. Shortly after the grave was filled, the man was stung by a scorpion and rushed to the hospital. In fulfillment of the Mishnah, the Chachamim's sting is like the sting of a scorpion. Harming a Talmid Chacham, at the beginning of the Sefer Igros Chazon Ish, Letters of the Chazon Ish, there's a copy
of... crazy stuff.
There's a copy of a secret handwritten account by the Chazon Ish, in which he states briefly that a certain suffering soul came to him to ask for rectification. Whoa. Rechaim revealed to a Talmud the background of the episode. The Chazon Ish served as the Rav of Kosovo, right before he came to Eretz Yisrael. A din Torah was held in his home between two townspeople, and he rendered his verdict. He gave up psak. The man who had lost the case became angry and began to argue against the Rav until he created a great deal of controversy. He opened a new shul and brought another Rav to the town. Wow. Before the man died, he wrote the Chazon Ish to ask for rectification for his stained soul. To emphasize the severity of the prohibition to harm a Talmid Chacham, Rechaim told the following. Rav Yosef Dinkels is regularly called up to the Torah as a Levi in the minyan that met in the home of the Chazon Ish. Another Levi also davened regularly. One day, when Rav Yosef was called to the Torah yet again, the other fellow cannot tolerate it any longer. In a fury, he shouted disrespectfully at Rav Yosef. When my father, the stipler, heard about this, Rechaim said, he declared that the man deserved to be put excommunicated for disrespecting a Talmud Chacham. And that is all for today. Mirtz Hashem to be continued after Pesach. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rav. You too.